Legends, a treasure. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1819. Linka went into the Countess's bedroom and found her sitting by the window having breakfast. "Michael is coming today," she said, as if she could not help herself. The Countess smiled. "It will be wonderful to see him," she sighed. "At the same time, he will be most upset at how dilapidated everything has become while he has been away." "He will soon put it right," Linka replied happily. "Now, I'm going to see that there are plenty of flowers in the house so that it looks pretty and hides some of these rips and tears." The Countess smiled at her again, and only as Linka reached the door did she say, "Don't do too much, my dear. I know you have been trying to put things right, but it is no use exhausting yourself." "I am quite all right," Linka answered her, "and the house has to be looking its best for Michael." As she ran down the grand staircase, she felt that she had sounded hopeful, but she knew it was inevitable that when the young Earl returned, he would be horrified at what he found. Linka, with her rather strange name, had lived at Monk Hall ever since she was a baby. The Countess of Monkford's first cousin, Alice, had been married when she was still very young to Lord Farnall. It had seemed such an odd match at the time, but a very advantageous one for a young girl. Alice had no assets, and her parents could not afford to introduce her to the social world. Alice Farnall had dutifully produced a daughter for her aging husband. She had died, however, soon after from a fever. Lord Farnall himself had no wish to bring up a baby without a woman to help him. He had therefore appealed to his relations and to Alice's for help, but no one was at all anxious to take on the responsibility. The Countess of Monkford had said that she had always wanted a daughter, and as the doctors had told her that she was incapable of having any more children of her own, she would take Linka. That was not her name then. In fact, she was not christened for 4 months, while the relations argued as to what name she should be called. None of them wanted the responsibility of the child themselves, but they contended that she should be named after either her aged Aunt Lillian or another relative who was called Katerina. The Countess of Monkford had listened to them quarrelling until, in the end, she suggested a compromise. "I have never liked long names," she maintained, "and the baby will therefore be christened Linka, which is a combination of both of your suggestions." The relatives had been satisfied with that. However, the Countess was well aware that had she been in a less renowned household, they would not have taken so much trouble over her. Linka was brought up at Monk Hall. The Earl's son, Viscount Monk, was her hero. He was 6 years older than her, and she thought that everything Michael did was perfect. She followed him about like a small dog, obeying every order he gave her. As he grew older, she learned to bowl to him at cricket and to follow him out shooting. Her greatest delight was to ride with him across the vast acres that his father owned. The world outside Monk Hall was acutely aware of the war which was taking place in Europe. Napoleon Bonaparte, who had proclaimed himself the Emperor of France, was striving to become the greatest conqueror of all time. More and more the men on the estate had left to join the Duke of Wellington's army in Portugal and Spain. As Michael grew older, both his mother and Linka were frightened. If the war did not end, the time would come when he too would have to go and fight the tyrant. He certainly talked of nothing else on his holidays from Eton and Oxford University. He was just 20 when he joined the household cavalry, and then, to his mother's and Linka's distress, he was sent abroad to join Wellington's army. It had happened just before the Battle of Waterloo. That this was the end of Napoleon and the end of the war was due, Linka thought entirely to her prayers.